Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
It seems there's something for everybody out in the outdoors. Whether you like to go camping, hiking, biking, fishing, hunting, whatever it may be, there seems to be creepy tales from all walks of life out there. This video is all about allegedly true, creepy fishing stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a fishing story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Now, without further hesitation, let's get into these creepy, allegedly true fishing stories that'll freak you out tonight. I grew up on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation in eastern Montana and spent much of my time fishing with my friends, especially night fishing. We would often pack up tons of soda, junk food, lanterns, gear, etc., and just head down to the Missouri River close by, or 40 miles up the road to Fort Peck Lake. It was the summer of 2006, and I was 19 at the time. We had just moved back after a year in college and had gotten my first apartment by myself. One night, a friend and I decided to go fishing at an old steel bridge that was out of town a few miles. As usual, we got snacks and gear and shot on down the road towards evening. It is probably important to note that we are pretty innocent youths, never drinking or doing drugs of any sort. Our snacks are always consistent with soda, candy, or sunflower seeds for the most part. We set up on the side of the bridge visited by drunks and cast in. By that time, it was already dark out and we had the lantern on and were chatting away and pulling in the occasional fish. Our conversations often found their way to talking about aliens, monsters, ghosts, and the occasional supposed sightings of things in the area from other people. One of the creatures that came up often was the river people, which are like a small nomadic spirit or fairy of sorts that travels along the rivers and is based in Native American folklore. My friend was a Native American and would often talk about some stories his grandpa would tell him. It's said, if you hear whistling by water at night, you are not supposed to whistle back because it was the river people and they would find it offensive and attack you. It also said that if you left food out, they would take it as an invitation into your home. Probably the most terrifying part was that they were supposedly able to look into your soul to see if you were a good or bad person as you slept, and if you awoke during this time, you would find yourself paralyzed until they moved on. This night was just the same as always, and soon my friend asked in a joking manner, "What if we saw glowing red eyes come close to the shore and stare at us from beneath the water?" I laughed and said, "I don't know, I'd throw my candy bar at it and keep on fishing, I guess." Or something along those lines. A while later, I look up the river past the large pillars of the bridge and see what appears to be a red light offshore. It's low over the water. It looks like it could be one of those lights on the front of a boat, which wouldn't be out of the ordinary because there are people often on their boats, fishing at night. Also, on the other side of the bridge is a place to put your boat in, and we had heard people on the other side not terribly long ago. I pointed out to my friend, laughing and saying, "There's your red eyes," or eye, and he chuckled about it as well. We go back to fishing, and soon we hear a vehicle peel out across the dirt road where we thought the boat was close to. A little weird for the vehicle to take off so carelessly in a place where the roads are so bad, but we didn't really give it much of thought. Probably just some stupid drunks taking their chances at driving back into town. Soon, the red light I had pointed out earlier started to make its way from behind one of the large pillars. It was pretty close to us, but still out in the water a little ways. Maybe about 50 feet or so. My friend and I looked up expecting to see a boat and to do the customary wave to the fellow fishermen. It was a common occurrence that fishermen on boats passing by would always wave at each other and ask if we had any luck. This small, friendly small talk. Except for this time, there wasn't a boat. It was just a glowing red orb that came around the pillar, and as it came around, it split into 5 or 6 smaller orbs, and they filed into a single file line. They were maybe about the size of a soccer ball, possibly smaller. The orbs started to do an almost playful zigzag pattern, and they all kept a uniform spacing and formation. It was a movement that definitely had intelligence behind it. It wasn't entirely random. My friend and I look at each other, and I whispered in a drawn-out, "What the heck is that?" He shook his head, gobsmacked, muttering back, "I have no idea," he said. "Maybe it's a string of reflectors from something, catching the light of our lantern." So, he turned off the lantern, plunging us into darkness except all the stars above, and those orbs that kept on glowing as they slowly made their way closer. Soon, they were straight out in front of us. What else was strange about these lights was that at first, we couldn't tell if they were above or below the water. They clearly glowed with some energy, but it was like the light didn't go anywhere. Once we realized they were above the water, we still didn't see any reflection on the water. It was like all the light was contained, and didn't travel any further than the orbs themselves. What's more, is how the land was formed where we were at. There was this kind of backflow of water closer to shore. So, out in the river, it flowed right to left, but much closer to the shore than the water would swirl back around, and that's where the section of water that flowed. The orbs were in this section, and they were going against the flow of the water, so we knew it was not just some garbage flowing downstream. This was also way before the time of personal drones, of course. Besides, these things were completely silent and flying smoothly along in a tight formation. My friend asked, "What should we do?" I said I wasn't sure. Then I told him he should cast his fishing line at it. He told me to screw myself, and we agreed that was probably not a good idea. About this time, the lights were almost directly straight off the shore in front of us, maybe 20 feet away now. The red glowing orb started to fly in a wide circle, still just above or maybe even touching the water. The circle they flew in started to get smaller and smaller as well. It would rise up slightly as well. They started to fly faster and faster until they were almost a ring of light. The circle they flew got smaller and smaller until, poof, they all just vanished. We didn't feel threatened or scared, but you could tell we were both in just disbelief and awe. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life, honestly. We sat in silence for a while, and my friend finally asked what I thought that was, and I said I honestly have no clue, maybe a UFO. We sat and fished for a few more hours talking about the thing we had seen, before calling it a night and heading back into town. That night, when I got home to my basement apartment, I took a shower and cleaned up from fishing and jumped in bed. My bed was right under the window, which was probably too small for me to crawl out if need be. The whole apartment was probably a death trap if a fire ever did break out, to be honest. Anyways, my back was to the window as I laid on my right side, and I just got under the blanket when suddenly there was this deafening and jarring buzzing sound, like a drill in my ear, and it sounded like it was getting closer and closer to my ear. I freaked out and tried to look over my shoulder and up at where this sound could possibly be coming from. I found that I was paralyzed and I couldn't move, or at least my head and feet felt locked in place, but my midsection felt like I could move it. What's more is when I went to move my eyes to look up, they would instantly start jerking or almost bouncing back to the face across the room. I couldn't look towards the window, towards where the sound was coming from. No matter how hard I tried to look forward, my eyes would be forced to look away. I tried to roll away, and it was like a rubber band was around me, pulling me back and slowly building more and more tension. The harder I tried to roll away or twist my midsection off the bed, when suddenly, it was like this rubber band snapped, and I popped, for lack of a better word, loose flying off the bed. At the same time, it was morning now, and I grabbed my alarm clock, soaked with sweat, and it was a little more than 6 hours that had passed. It was like when I popped out of the grasp of whatever it was, I instantly moved 6 hours ahead in one falling motion. I know what sleep paralysis is, and it sounds like it very well could have been what I had been experiencing that night. But those weird red orbs, I have never experienced since. Nothing even close that could be considered sleep paralysis. Also, even to this day on occasions, that ear has a weird sharp pain deep down in it from time to time. The best way to describe it is when you get a piercing and the feeling of the needle just as it starts to poke the skin. I haven't had any lost memories come back nor suffer from nightmares or anything at all, so I really don't know what happened. When I talked to my friend about my experience in my apartment, he did not really believe me despite what we saw that night together, and ended up dropping the matter and not really talking about it anymore after that. As for what we saw, I don't know if it was a UFO or river spirits or what. I wouldn't mind seeing it or something again as long as we skipped the late night visit afterward. My encounter happened in early February of 1985 in a farming swamp area of extreme South Florida outside of Homestead. My father called it the East Glade. Some folks call it the Double Canal. It's a very flat area, very large area, probably about 5 by 8 miles long, where corn and potatoes are grown in the winter with a mix of willow, buttonwood, scrub oak, sawgrass, and cattail slough. It is crisscrossed with small drainage ditches that we call jumpers because they were just wide enough to jump across. Some larger ditches and two large canals, hence double canals. The drainage ditches were dug for fill for the roads, which are set up in straight north-south, east-west grids, and they divide the area up into large plots of fields and swamp. It was late afternoon, and the temperature was cold for subtropical Florida, mid-50s, expected to drop to low 40s that night. My buddy and I had been fishing the jumpers about smack in the middle of the glade on the edge where the farms yielded to the swamp. About an hour and a half before the sun set, I saw a figure approaching us from the swamp about 3/4 of a mile down the road we were fishing on. My friend was around the corner, so at the time, I was alone at the car. I knew it was a person, but it was moving very slowly, and I didn't pay it much mind, and continued fishing, but kept an eye on it. After about a half hour, I could make out it was a woman. Then, as she got closer, I could tell she was barefoot, wearing only a long pink t-shirt with a teddy bear on it. The kind young girl sleep in. When she finally got close enough to talk to me, I could see she had been out there for a while. She had a slight build. Her mouse brown hair looked like it had been wet earlier in the day and not brushed out very well, but her feet didn't appear very dirty. Her skin was slightly ashen, but not pale, and she wasn't very blemished. She seemed fairly healthy, didn't seem lost or overly concerned about her situation. She asked me for a cigarette, of which I didn't have. When I told her I had none, she just looked at me blankly. I then asked her what in the heck she was doing out here. She replied, "I've been swimming with the gators." I asked her who left her out there. I figured she was a hooker. She just said, "They left me here." I asked her if she would like a ride back to town when we were done fishing, and she said she had no place to go. I told her that I couldn't in good conscience leave her out here, and would give her a few bucks, and then drop her off at a convenience store. She just said, "I'll wait over there." She walked about 50 feet in front of my car, and she squatted down in the road, pulled the shirt over her knees, and just kind of settled there. Now, this was getting kind of strange, So I went and found my buddy to tell him we had a crazy lost Tookie we were going to take back. We spoke about it out of earshot of the girl and decided we would drop her off, at least at a place that was close. He did ask if she propositioned me, which she had not. Then it seemed even stranger. He also said something to the effect of that she might be trying to set us up to be rolled, which wasn't likely because I was wearing a rather large pistol. Gets time to leave, and she gets in the back of my 72, four-door Chevelle, and off we go. My buddy basically asked the same questions I did, and she gave the same answers. Swimming with the alligators, not gators, alligators, and that they left her out there. She also said she didn't have any more friends in town. That they were all gone. From that point, we just rode and were quiet. About a half mile from the pavement and civilization, she blurts out, "I forgot my shoes." I told her she could get more shoes, but she reiterated that she had to have her shoes. I told her it's almost dark and we're not going back for shoes. To which she replied, "Let me out. I must have my high heels." I wasn't going to argue with some crazy hooker, so I stopped to let her get out. She exited the car from the back passenger door, and at that moment, my buddy just looked at me and said, "She's a spook." I told him he was nuts. She's a hooker, not a spook. He said, "No, no, a spirit." As I was explaining to him why his eyes were all weird looking, I looked in the rearview mirrors and she was gone. Turned around, no sign of her. The road we were on was white rock, 50 feet wide, and had flat, freshly planted farm fields on either side. Not a bush or tree in sight, but it did have a jumper on either side. I still thought he was a loony as she was. Then, he turned around and put his hand on the seat where she had been at least 20 minutes before. It was cold as ice when I put my hand on it. He then said, "Did you notice she didn't smell like anything?" And then, when he mentioned it, for some reason, I kind of noticed that. For someone who had spent a day in the South Florida swamp, she had no odor at all. I could hardly tell anyone about this situation except my wife. Then, one afternoon, while chatting with my father, I told him the story. With as serious as a look as he could have given me, he told me that he had seen the same girl 50 years prior in the area. When she approached, she asked the same question, "Do you have a cigarette?" He told her that he didn't have a cigarette. Her attire was different, though. She was completely naked except for a pair of high-heeled shoes. My father told me that she had been out there for a long time, and this was sort of shocking to me that my father, who was an elder in the church, had direct contact with a spirit, and the same spirit that had contact with me. When I was about 10 years old, I went fishing with my dad and some of his friends. The plan was to drive somewhere far from a city and settle beside a lake and stay the night there. Instead of tents, we would spend the night in our cars. Some of us brought fishing equipment with us and went fishing, so later we could cook some fish and make soup. Once we got there, it was a pretty standard routine. We stretched out across the shore and started doing our thing. It was pretty chill until I saw something strange happen. There were bubbles coming out of the water somewhere in the middle of the lake, and I mean a lot of them. They started coming towards me, and once they were about 3 meters away from me, they seemingly disappeared. I was like, okay, and suddenly something strong pulled my rod. I tried to hold it, but something underwater was too strong. Eventually, I couldn't hold it anymore, and it took the fishing rod out of my hands and took it underwater. I came out to my dad and told him what happened. He said it's okay, it's probably just a huge fish, and I'm not strong enough. I doubted that, but still just walked back to the camp. The rest of the guys already made a campfire and brought some logs so we can sit on them. Then they introduced me to Hake, and told me that he lived somewhere near and helped them do all of this stuff. The rest of the evening went by quickly. When it got really dark, we headed for our cars to get some sleep. I immediately fell asleep because I was exhausted. But then I woke up because of some weird noises. I looked out my window and saw, from the side of the river, a man was coming. I figured it was one of our friends or something, until I saw his face. It was a skull. He was looking like a pirate from the Pirates of the Caribbean, except he didn't wear a pirate suit. He looked more like a stereotypical fisherman. He started looking through some of the stuff we left outside. Then, he glanced in my direction and saw me looking at him. He turned around and ran back to the lake. I couldn't sleep the rest of the night thinking about what had just happened. The next morning, we were about to leave and I told everybody what I saw that night. Everybody laughed. Then, Hake asked me if I would like to talk to him in private. I said sure, and he told me that his brother died in this lake. He was a fisherman, but after their parents died, he committed suicide and drowned himself. So I'm not saying I saw that ghost or whatever, but maybe I did. Growing up in Louisiana along the Sabine River, where the mouth of the Anacoco Creek runs in, I heard about legends of monsters, ghosts, and lost treasures, but I never thought about there being much truth to them. That is, until a few years ago. I was along the creek having a great time, setting limb lines, getting them ready to be baited and everything. It would be a beautiful night, with a full moon and high hopes of catching some big catfish. Sunset found me baiting the last line when a shiver ran down my spine. It felt like I was being watched, and as I paddled back to camp, I couldn't shake that feeling. When I reached my camp, I cracked open a beer and tried to relax. I would wait a couple of hours, then go run my lines. So I made dinner and had a few beers. With the moonlight shining through the trees, I noticed a big gator swimming around the edge of the sandbar I was camped on. I shined my spotlight in that direction, and something was off about it. I couldn't tell you off-handed what was, but my instincts were telling me to leave as quick as possible. I waited a while after the gator disappeared before I went running my lines. I had planned on running them a couple of times that night, but after the strange feeling in the odd gator, I decided to just go this one time and take my hooks off and call it a night. The first line felt heavy, and when I pulled it up, there was a big catfish on, but its body was already bitten off. Now, I've had gators do this before. It's easy pickings for them, but never had all of my lines that had fish on them been done this way. I started back after I cut the hook on the last line, and when I heard something in the water behind me, it was that same gator. I had never seen one act this way. Normally, they shy away, but this one seemed really interested in following me. It followed me at an uncomfortably close distance as I made it back to camp. I decided to abandon my tent and my boat and come back in the morning for them. As I was getting my bag out of the tent, I heard a screech like I had never heard before. I turned to see that gator coming out of the water on two legs, and it made that god-awful screech again. I was frozen in fear, and what seemed like an eternity as it made its way up to the sandbar toward me. I had to move or it would get me. I remember thinking this as it got closer. As most people do, I was packing a gun. I don't know why I didn't think about it until then, but I drew my .357 mag out of my bag and fired it until it was empty. It screamed and headed back into the water, and I headed back to my truck. I never went back to get my tent or boat. I assume they are still there, and that is perfectly fine with me. My dad likes to fish on a certain river, and even though I don't like fishing, I and a friend had gone with him this time. The whole trip was fine, honestly. We didn't catch much of anything, but we had fun. Something you need to know, the pavement is a sort of sideways Y shape, so you can park, walk down, and fish. When we were coming back up and walking toward the car, we saw this guy in a yellow shirt walk past us, with some weird static playing from his phone in his hand. We thought nothing of it and turned the corner to go up and saw the same guy walking past us again. We were confused as all heck, so we look out to where the first guy would have been and there was no guy there. As we left, I saw the same guy standing by a group of these electric scooters staring at a blank phone. No one else in the car said they saw him. For some background information, the place is known for being a body dump, meaning when people get killed, their body usually ends up in that river. As a matter of fact, my cousin saw a dismembered torso there that summer. This has been on my mind for a bit, so I looked into the river. Basically, there had been two separate men killed and bodies found since the encounter. I'm really leaning towards a ghost or something because of the whole body thing, but I've only had 3 or 4 paranormal encounters in my life, so I don't really have any idea. What do you guys think? Thanks for sharing my story, Swamp. I do appreciate it, even though it's short and probably not that scary. This is a story that happened to me when I first moved out to Florida, in a scary event that took place one night. For some context, I'm a 5'6", petite female who at the time had long, dirty blonde hair that I liked to keep down. My family had just arrived at our house a few months before this event took place, and when some of our friends heard, they asked if they could come visit for a weekend. Of course, we let them come stay with us and decided that we should take them down to the river one night. Not too far from where we lived was a large dock where lots of locals would go fishing for shrimp, crabs, and small bait. We had one time seen a man place a light in the water in order to attract a whole plethora of shrimp, and thought it would be cool to show our friends from Utah, since there isn't anything like that there to do. Being the rebellious teen that I wasn't that interested in spending time with my parents' friends, and their kids were very much younger than me. So when my family left to go check out a restaurant that was nearby, I stayed behind to watch the water and look at the sky. Everything was so peaceful and serene, but the peaceful silence was broken when a voice spoke from the dark. "Hey, blonde. Hey, miss," a male voice called out. I looked over to the lower parts of the dock and saw a man standing next to a small metal boat. It was too dark to see his face, so I have no idea what he looked like. I was too timid at the time to respond, but just by looking over in his direction was enough for him to continue. "Are you all alone, miss? Why don't you hop into the boat with us? We'll take you if you'd like," he said. I then noticed that on the boat was a much larger man and woman, who never spoke for the whole conversation. Now, just because I was rebellious to my parents didn't mean I was completely daft, but I also was raised to be polite, so I wasn't really sure for a moment how to react. "No, I'm sorry, I can't. My mom would be really mad if I did," I told them. The larger man who was on the boat put one of his feet onto the dock, while the smaller man kept talking. "No, no, it's okay. We're only going to get a little get-together on the islands. She doesn't have to know. Come on, hop in," he said, and began walking up the steps. It was only then that I realized how alone I really was. The dock that direction was void of any fishermen because that was where the boats came in, and my family had left as well. I watched him come closer and felt my blood run cold, not knowing what to do. By a stroke of luck, my family came out of the restaurant and were chatting with each other. I quickly stood and said loudly, "Sorry, looks like my family's leaving. I have to go." Before he could say any more, I quickly sprinted away from the boat and back to my family. They hadn't seen anything, and hadn't even noticed I was missing from the party when I finally caught up to them. When I looked back, I saw the two men and the woman were gone along with the boat. It frightens me to think what could have happened if my parents hadn't walked out at that moment. Would those men have grabbed me and forced me into the boat? If they did, would anyone have heard my screams in time? I haven't gone alone to the docks ever since, and thankfully, I haven't seen that boat ever since either. Thanks for listening to these creepy, allegedly true fishing stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story you would like to share in the future, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going, and I would love to share them with everyone here in the swamp. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? hit subscribe, and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, in all things natural and supernatural. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it to fresh new eyes. If you're not aware yet, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller Scary Stories for free from iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, and pretty much every other major podcasting platform you can find on the internet. I know having mobile data isn't always available for you, so if you can't watch YouTube, this is a good way for it. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp. It really does mean a ton to see you guys, video after video, posting the code words that I put at the end of these. Today, I don't think I'll have a code word, but I would like to just take a second to mention that you guys can support the channel kind of like Patreon, but you don't even have to leave YouTube. Down by my name or on my channel page, you'll see a join button. You can click that join button and pick between three tiers, a $2 tier, a $5 tier, and a $10 tier. These separate tiers all give you special and cool exclusive things that you won't get if you're not a member. You'll get exclusive member live streams, exclusive posts and updates, as well as early access to new videos and much more. You'll also get cool custom emotes in the chat and as well as a cool badge that goes next to your name to let everybody know you're a supporter of the Swamp. So join the Swamp today and become a member. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. Thank you for all the support.